love God, you're going to be about the things that God's about. You can't say you love God and then hate the very things that God is about. The people that Jesus bled and died for, we can't say, oh, I don't like that person.
Welcome to Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. We are currently in the book of 1 John, studying with Pastor Nate on what our relationship with Christ should look like in a brand new series we've called Friend of Jesus.
But I've titled this message, Friendship Fuel. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it says this, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now, by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you've heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true and in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Now, John is bringing up a couple of really important ideas for us, and it's important that we don't miss it or misunderstand it. It's important that what he's talking about we don't miss, and also that we don't misunderstand. To sum it all up, what he is saying is that friendship is better than forgiveness. That friendship with Jesus is better than forgiveness. Now, John begins by telling us the reason why he's writing, and he gives us a brief explanation to that. In chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "My little children, these things I write to you," the reason I'm writing, "is so that you may not sin." His goal for writing to them, he says, listen, the reason I'm writing, the reason I've started this letter, what I'm talking about is so that you would not sin. But then he says, if we do sin, there is forgiveness for our sins. And he says, not just for us, but for the whole world. He says, okay, my goal for writing to you is so that you don't sin. And that's like, ooh, it's kind of a big goal. Like, you weren't with me this week. You don't know how many times I've sinned. Like, if we were to keep track, it would have been a lot. And he says, I'm writing to you so that you would not sin. You're like, that's kind of a difficult task. And then he says, but just in case you do, and all of us are like, whew, because we know we're going to mess up. He says, just in case you do, he says, we have an advocate to the Father who is the propitiation for our sins. Basically, what he's saying is that if we sin, there is forgiveness for our sins. And the first thought tonight is that forgiveness is found through faith. This idea that he's bringing up, forgiveness that we might access, is found in faith. Now, John makes it 100% clear that salvation is found through what Jesus has done, accessed by our faith. We need to understand that forgiveness for our sins is found in one place. It's found through faith in Jesus. He says that Jesus is our advocate. And the idea is that he pleads our case on our behalf. It's as if Jesus was our defense lawyer, that we're standing on trial and that we're being accused of sinning, and Jesus is the one that's going to stand before the judge, and he's going to plead our case before the judge. We have an advocate. But then he says he's also our propitiation, which is a big word, which basically means to appease or neutralize our situation. It's as if Jesus defends us in a court of law to show that we are guilty. I'm going to say that again. Jesus defends us in a court of law to show that we are guilty. If he were to stand before the judge and the accusation is that we are sinners, what the verdict would be is that we're guilty. Guilty on all accounts. We're guilty. We've messed up. We failed. It's not like Jesus is going to stand as our advocate and lie, right? God is not going to stand there and go, no, I never saw them. They never did anything bad. Be like, that's a lie. Our lawyer is lying. What Jesus would do is our advocate and would say, yeah, they failed here. They sinned here. They messed up here. They're absolutely sinners. Yeah, absolutely. But then the second idea, Jesus is our propitiation. What he would basically do is say, judge, can I approach the bench? He approached the bench. Now this is just, I'm just kind of painting the scene. But Jesus approaches the bench and he says, yeah, they're guilty on all accounts. They fail, they sin constantly. But I'm going to be the neutralization. I'm going to appease that situation. So whatever they're found guilty of, I want you to punish me instead. And then what happens is Jesus takes the punishment for our sin, and now we don't have to be punished because Jesus has taken it for us, and we can have full forgiveness from God. That's the situation, that although we are 100% guilty before God, Jesus has made a way for us to be completely forgiven by God, and the reason we have that forgiveness is because we place faith in who Jesus is. There is nothing that can be held against us because Jesus took it all. And that forgiveness is accessed one way, through faith. John chapter 3, verse 16, this is another writing of John, Jesus speaking. We know the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, what? Believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He doesn't say whoever does good deeds. He doesn't say whoever did more good things than bad things. He doesn't say whoever went to church this many times. He says whoever believes in him should not perish. Another verse, John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. Listen, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Again, John chapter 6, verse 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The whole focus of John's writing in John's gospel is that the way we get forgiveness from God is through faith in Jesus Christ. Simply believing in Jesus, we have complete forgiveness for every sin we could ever commit. When we fail, we have confidence that we're forgiven because of our faith in Jesus. John wants us to know that we have forgiveness through Jesus, but, and this is the big part that John's trying to get us to, he tells us that there's something better than forgiveness. He transitions. Look at verse 3. Verse 1 and 2, he's saying that we have forgiveness through faith in Jesus. Now, by this, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. If we aren't careful, we could think that John is still speaking about forgiveness. He's not. It could sound like that the way in which we have forgiveness is through keeping God's commandments. If you miss this, because it sounds like, okay, we have advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, he himself is the propitiation, and we have that. It could sound like it was saying we have that if we keep his commandments. That is not what he's saying at all. Forgiveness is found in faith in Jesus. John is talking about something different. He's talking about knowing the one who forgives. It is a deeper relationship that he's introducing to us. Second thought, friendship with the forgiver. That's what he wants us to really understand. He wants us to see that it's not just about forgiveness, but it's about friendship with the forgiver. That we can, through faith in Jesus, have complete forgiveness of sins. That everything we've done wrong from the time we were born to right now, and everything we will do wrong from this point forward, we can have complete forgiveness from God. But he's saying that it doesn't just stop there. Many people have sold Christianity as simply a get-out-of-hell-free card. All Christianity is you can get out of hell if you place faith in Jesus Christ. You can have forgiveness of sins, you can get out of hell, and you can have access to heaven. And for some people, that's all they understand about Christianity. Now, can I tell you, that's a really great benefit of placing faith in Jesus Christ, that you get access to heaven. You have access. You get out of what the Bible calls hell, which is eternal separation from God and all that is God. So all God's love and peace and all of that is gone. It's removed from it. So a benefit to faith in Jesus is access to heaven and really sort of your hall pass to get out of hell. But that isn't all that it is. There's something better available, and that is friendship or relationship with the one that forgives. He's saying there's something bigger than forgiveness. There's something more to it than this whole idea, this whole Christianity thing. It's more than just getting your sins forgiven. It's more than just, yeah, I did bad things, but now I'm looked at as not guilty. It's bigger than that. It's better than that. It's relationship with the one that forgives. And John's whole point right here is to help us know that we know Jesus. Too many people that have placed faith in Jesus Christ spend their whole Christian life wondering if God still likes them. Because what happens is we place faith in Jesus Christ, and then we live our life and we do something stupid. We say something we shouldn't say. We go somewhere we shouldn't go to. We are involved in something we shouldn't be involved in. And then what happens is we go home at night, and when we lay in bed, we go, oh, I messed up. Or at least we should. Hopefully we have these thoughts. Oh, I messed up. I did that thing. I said that thing. I went to that place. I can't believe I did that. And then what happens for some is they go, does God still like me? Can I still go to church? Will my Christian friends still want to hang out with me if they knew this? Is God upset at me? Has God sort of shunned me for a little while? And after a while, he might talk to me again. And for so many people, they think that after they fail, they get sort of put on God's like, I'll talk to you later. If you do enough good things, then I'll talk to you again. And people spend their whole life wondering, does God know me? And do I know God? And there's no security in their salvation. There's no confidence in who they are in God. They spend their whole life wondering these things. And John says, listen, I want you to know that you know him. Forgiveness is found through faith, but I want you to know without a doubt that you know the one that forgives you. You following me? Does this make sense? Because it's important for us to understand. He's saying, we have forgiveness, but you can know the forgiver. So how do we know him? He gives us a couple of things that are sort of tests to see if we know that we know him. Number one, he tells us to keep his commandments. Now, again, verse 3, when he says, now this is how we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He's not saying this is how you access forgiveness. This is how you know that you know the forgiver. Follow me? It's a lot of no's, a lot of K-N-O-W's, but it's knowing the one that's forgiven us. He says, keep his commandments. Now, a lot of people hear this, keeping his commandments, and there's sort of a negative feeling attached to it because people think that Christianity is a list of rules and commandments. The word keep that's used here, it means to attend carefully, it means to observe, and it means to guard. The idea is that God's word and God's story should be watched in our lives and kept close in our lives. We need to allow God's word and God's ways to make its way into our hearts and allow who he is to give us a deeper desire for him. When he says keep his commandments, what he's saying is get familiar with who he is. Know who Jesus is. Know what he's done. Know what he's about. Know where he's going. And if you can understand who Jesus is, all of a sudden your desires are going to change. You're going to begin to want what God wants. You're going to begin to go where God wants you to go. You're going to experience the things God wants you to experience. It's less about, this is so important, if you miss everything else, listen to this. It's less about an outward action and requirement and more about an inward posture or desire. What I mean by that is that above all else, we desire to know God and live for God. What that means for us is that there's going to be days where we mess up. There's going to be times where we do things we shouldn't do. There's going to be days where we feel things and we go places that aren't right. But at the end of the day, we have a desire above all else to live pleasing to God. Yeah, some days my actions don't look that. Sometimes my actions, I mess up, I get caught up in this, and I experience that, and I goof up, and I do this. But above all else, my desire is to live pleasing to God. And when your desire is that I'm going to live pleasing to God, you'll find yourself more often than not living pleasing to God. You say, this is my deepest desire. If you don't have a desire to live for God and know him, how can you say if you're his friend? He says, you want to know that you know him? You have a desire to do what he wants you to do. You may not always be doing it, but the desire is that, God, I want to know you. And if you don't have that desire, pray that God will give you that desire. God, help me to want to do what you want me to do. John says that a true sign of friendship with Jesus is that you will love people like Jesus loved people. That's why he mentions this kind of confusing old yet new commandment. Right there in the middle, he's like, he says, brethren, I write no new commandment, but an old commandment. And then verse 8, he says, again, a new commandment. The reason he says it like that is because for these believers, they would have heard this new commandment from the beginning of their belief. So it's kind of an old commandment for them. But John would have heard this commandment as a brand new thing. So like it's new, or it's old for some of them, but it's still brand new. And this is the commandment. John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus is speaking. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you. Ready? That you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. Classic Jesus. The most like circular statement. Ready? That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So you kind of already said that. That you love one another as I have loved you. Like, that's a complete sentence. Jesus says that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. What's the point? He wants us to love one another. Jesus kind of repeats himself. Why? Because it's important. Hey, I want you to love one another. How? He says, as I have loved you. That's why it's a new commandment. Because only until after Jesus' life can you know how Jesus loved people. Right? You can't know how Jesus loved people until after you watched him love people. Listen, we're called to love people like God loves people. If we truly know Jesus, we will love the people that he loves. I've heard people say that they love God, but they hate the church, or they can't stand Christians. And I think you can't have one or the other. If you truly love God, you're going to love his people. If you truly love God, you're going to be about the things that God's about. You can't say you love God and then hate the very things that God is about. The people that Jesus bled and died for, we can't say, oh, I don't like that person. No, as Christians, we're called to love people as God loves people, every type of person. The people we look like, the people that we don't, the people that have the same interests as us, the people that don't. We're called by God to love people as he loved people. And the problem with that, the problem with hating people is that Jesus loves people. So why would we hate what God loves? Forgiveness, it fuels friendship, and it shows itself in our love towards other people. We see that Jesus laid down his life for other people, and so we want to do the same. And what it does is it gets the focus off of ourselves. Just forgiveness keeps the focus on us. Friendship gets the focus on other people. Number three. He tells us to abide in light. So the first he says, one of the tests that you know him is that your desires are going to change. Secondly, a test that you are friends with him, that you know Jesus, is that you're going to love the people that he loves. Who's that? It's everybody. Right? We looked a minute ago, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That is every single person on planet Earth, now and before and ever will be. God loves people. The message of the Bible is that God loves people desperately. So we should love people. And then third, he says, tells us to abide in light. Now, the idea is that we are walking in the places and in the things that please God. A great test and kind of a scary test to see if we're walking in the light is to see if the things that we're involved in could be lived out or talked about in public. Kind of the idea. Like, Like, let's say I were to ask you, like, hey, I want you to share every single detail about the last 48 hours. Every text message you sent, every website you went to, every song you listened to, every thought that you had. I would just share them with the people. And if we're like, yeah, no. Then there's probably some things in our life that God wants to tweak and rearrange a little bit. There's a reality that walking in the light, it doesn't mean that we're perfect. It means that we're honest. It means that we don't have anything kept down that nobody knows about. It's just us, and we're making sure that it stays that way. Walking in the light says, man, I'm not perfect, but I'm working through stuff. And God wants to help me work through it. The test of friendship, it's simple. It's that Jesus will affect our desires, the way that we treat other people, and our actions. So you want to know that you know him? You want to be certain that you actually know the one that's forgiven us of all of our sins. Well, how are your desires? Are you desiring the things of God, or are you desiring other things? How are the way you treat people? Do you treat people like God would treat them, or do you treat them as objects or just a means to an end, or whatever it might be? And then how are your actions? Are you acting? Are you involved in the things that are pleasing God? Are you involved in the things that bring God glory? Or are you doing things that would probably be better classified as in the dark than in the light? The test of friendship is that it'll change our desires, how we treat people, and our actions. And the reason for it is because friendship with Jesus changes our perspective on sin and our relationship with sin. Follow me for a second, okay? If the whole point of Jesus coming to planet Earth was simply for forgiveness, then why is it important for us to stop sinning? As John would write, I write to you so that you may not sin. You know how we often get the idea of I forgive you and it's okay mixed up? There's a huge difference. When it's okay, then there's a license to do it again. Jesus' end goal was not just forgiveness. Because if it was just forgiveness, then God has given us access to unlimited forgiveness. So who cares what we do? There's forgiveness. The Bible says that there's mercies that are new each morning. If that was the end of it, then it's like, well, then do whatever you want because there's unlimited forgiveness. Right? You follow me for this making sense? So this can't be the end goal. The end goal isn't forgiveness. The end goal is friendship, because friendship will change our understanding of sin and our reaction to sin. When you know Jesus personally and you have a relationship with him, you won't want to fall into sin because you don't want to hurt the relationship. All of a sudden you realize, wait, it's not just about forgiveness, because forgiveness is all about me. Friendship is all about us. Forgiveness says, oh, I can keep doing it. I can keep living this way because I know that there's unlimited forgiveness. No. Jesus' goal was not just to get us into heaven. Jesus' goal was not just to forgive us of our sins. Jesus' goal was to know us in a personal level so that we could know him on a personal level. Because friendship changes everything. Because when you have relationship, you'll want to do what's right. I could sit up here and say, now that you're graduating high school, don't party and don't cheat and don't compromise. And I could tell you all those things, which are great things for me to tell you. It's great advice. But bigger than just not compromising, or bigger than just don't party, is know Jesus. Why? Because he'll speak to you. If you know Jesus, he'll talk to you. You'll be at this place, and God will say, hey, and you'll be like, oh, not now. This is my night. It's Friday night. Don't you know? God's going to say, hey, remember me? And you're going to go, oh, yeah. Why? Because we're friends. Because I know you. Because there's relationship here, and God's going to speak to you, and God's going to be involved in your life. And when you're open to it, he's going to direct you, and he's going to be a part of your life. And all of a sudden, you're going to realize that it's not just about forgiveness, but it's actually knowing the one that forgave me. Because now that I know the one that forgave me, I want to live in such a way that honors him and respects him and blesses him, rather than just focusing on me, which forgiveness tends to do. We're focused on the friendship, the relationship with Jesus, and that's going to keep me. That's going to fuel me to go into the things that God wants me to do. That forgiveness fuels friendship. And from friendship, we're going to live in such a way that honors God. We're going to go to the places that God wants us to go. We're going to love people as God wants us to love. We're going to have the desires that God wants us to. It's not to earn God's favor. It's from God's favor. And that friendship, that forgiveness fuels us into friendship. And that changes everything.
Thanks again for tuning in to Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. We pray that this message has encouraged your walk with Christ. If you'd like to listen to more of Pastor Nate's teachings, visit us online at middlegroundradio.com.